We're going to be in Exodus chapter 13, if you want to turn to your Bibles there. And there's also some notes here that will help you follow along. We do want to remember all of our online viewers. Obviously, praise the Lord, all of you are healthy enough to be here. There's been a lot of sickness going around in our community. So we have a number of family members who are back home, and so we want to say hi to them. And also, everybody here probably remembers we sang happy birthday to Brad. He's at MCV Hospital. And so Brad and Kelly, we love you. They're still there and progressing really well, and pretty soon we'll look forward to having them with us. But we're thinking of all of you who are at home today, as well as excited about what the Lord's going to do right here in our midst. And we've been in this series called First Love. And it's the biblical concept that what you put first determines your future. We're not just trying to be smart and clever. We're really trying to look at what the Word of God says about how we should live life. Because the whole purpose of this series, and these are your first notes if you want to take them, is that sometimes people start with God's hope, but then they don't change to follow God's plan, which is just put Him first in all that you're doing. And so what can happen is we can be in the middle of a worship series, and like me, man, get a little excited, like I'm starting to feel some hope. But then if all we did was get excited, but not listen to the Word of God, when we leave, it's great that we got excited, but hope by itself isn't going to change where we're going in life. There has to be a plan to it. And I don't mean a plan like in all of your effort and your wisdom and all that. I mean just following a very simple principle in the Bible where Jesus said, and we did this last week, if you missed last week's message, you go online and look at it. But Jesus said, look, you worry about a lot of things, but seek first my kingdom, and what will happen? Everything else will be taken care of. And so that's kind of easy to say, but when we feel like we're in the middle of life and we feel like we're in the middle of relationships that are hurting us, very hard to put God first because we come up with a bunch of reasons why we should handle it and why we shouldn't change. But what we want to do is we want to start with God's hope. God begins to speak to us, but then we want to change. You know, sometimes because God is God, we think, well, it's just magic. I just hope, and then God goes abracadabra, and bam, everybody treats me the way I always wanted to. And it's like, no, the first words Jesus said were not abracadabra. They were in Matthew 4:17. What were they? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. As a matter of fact, instead of waiting for me to magically fix something, actually change the way you're living and what you're putting first in your life, and follow me, and you'll discover I'm going to do a lot more than you could even ask for or even hope. Now, I think a lot of us in the end, we get the idea that hope by itself is not a strategy for life. Hope is a beautiful thing we should always have in our life, but hope in and of itself is not the plan. And I can give you a quick, easy story about that. See, when I was in eighth grade, there was this girl, and I kid you not, her name was Tina Love. My dad used to say, Sean loves to love love. And I did. I wanted to love love. And this song was playing usually during that time. And I'd see her. And what I really wanted to say was, hello. But I was a little afraid, I was a little shy, and so every day I'd have this hope that Tina and I would talk, and I had this hope that Tina and I might, like she'd say yes to go out with me, but all it was what? Hope. And actually, ironically, that hope without action made me pretty depressed, because every day my hope walked right by me. And so at some point, I had to face my fears and make a change so that that hope would become a reality. And you know what? A lot of times in our own life, we do the same thing. The hope of what God wants to do in our life, it walks right by us every day. And yet we don't change and do a little different, follow a new plan, God's plan, to put Him first because we're trying to figure it out so much in our own hearts. And so we're going to look at Exodus 13, and maybe later I'll tell you how that went. It's not pretty. But in Exodus 13, the book of Exodus is where a group of God's people went from no hope to having hope to actually living in that hope. They went from being slaves in Egypt, and then this guy, Moses, came from God who gave them all this hope. And they started hoping to follow God. They started hoping maybe they could be free. And then one day, the Red Sea came, and they actually had that hope come a reality in their life. And they got to the other side of the Red Sea, and they were free. And then they realized, I don't have a plan. Like, I've hoped to be free for so long, but now that I'm free, what do I do? And so the book of Exodus is a story about people who had a hope that turned from not just a hope, but they figured out, it's like, wait a minute, I need to start living in this. I need to make a change. And so the whole idea of the Ten Commandments is that it was God's way of saying, this is how you live free. This is how you live with victory and keep it. We tend to think about the Ten Commandments from our point of view, but you know, the people who first heard the Ten Commandments had grown up as slaves and never knew anything different but to be a slave. All they ever knew was someone else does this to me. Someone else does that to me. I have no power here. I have no voice here. I can't do that. That's all they knew. And they this hope to be free came, and all of a sudden, it's like, well, I'm out and my circumstances change, but I don't know how to live. And so the Ten Commandments are God's way of saying, okay, here's your hope. Now make a change and start thinking and living this way. And we reviewed this last week. What was the very first commandment? But you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, the first key to living in God's victory and peace and for life to be different than you live is put God what? First. Don't make sure nothing is before him. Put him first. And that's what the Ten Commandments do. Now we get past the Ten Commandments, and then we have all these things called the law. And what they were was God's way of telling the people of that time and place, this is how you put me first. So God begins to talk to them about their finances, and God begins to talk to them about their schedules, and God starts to talk to them about their marriages and justice. And what all that is, although sometimes we read all that, I'm like, I don't understand that. This doesn't have anything to do with what I'm doing right now. That was God taking this principle and saying, now here's how you live it out. And so the very call that we have that has never changed is that life's not going to work and no solution is ever going to come if we don't put God first. And last week we talked about our goal last week, let's put God first above a fear in our life. And then let's give him the first of our day. So in Exodus 13, 1 through 2, we're going to look at two parts of the passage that talk, that God is talking to them about what about life and about their family and also about their income, because it was a society that was basically about raising animals. And so this really meant their jobs as well as when they talked about their kids. And so here it is. Then the Lord said to Moses, dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites. Notice this key, this first commandment's coming into play again. The first offspring to be born of both humans and animals, read it out loud with me next, belongs to me. That's a key understanding we're going to look at. God's saying, look, the firstborn, the first in your family, the first in your income, that belongs to me. And then he talks a little bit more, and down in verse 11 through 13, God says this again, kind of restating it. He says, when God gives you victory over all your enemies, when I give you victory over others, you must present all firstborn, the first, sons and firstborn male animals to the Lord, for they what? Belong to me. And then he says something that you and I, it doesn't, you know, this isn't as common of understanding, but the idea says a firstborn donkey, which was very important to their way of living, an unclean animal may be redeemed by sacrificing a lamb or a young goat. That would be considered in their culture a clean animal in its place. And at the end, we're going to come back to that concept. But basically, God is setting out this idea that everything that is first and best, it belongs to me. And what I want you to do is I want you to bring it to me. Now, if it's a part of life that's been that's unclean and it's been broken, well, there's a way, there's a sacrifice that will take care of that for you. But I still want you to give it to me, and we'll get back to that in a little bit. But what we want to look at is in this verses, the idea of what is first, God is first, comes in a way that's about their family and about their income. And this idea of what belongs first to God is this principle right here, the biblical principle of first. And this is throughout the Bible. We'll take a few references of it, but we don't have possibly enough time to do all of them. The first of all life and blessings belong to God, not me. Now, my goal in this sermon is one simple thing. This teaching, when I heard it, changed the way I looked at all my life and actually made a lot of my decisions a lot simpler in life. So I want to give it to you because the Bible shows us that the first of all life and all blessings, God considers it His, even though it's in our life. And I'm going to show you why that's important in a minute. So just kind of start thinking with me and we'll kind of build the whole thought as we go. Now, here's the basic understanding. Everything that is living and good, it belongs to God. I mean, He's God, right? He made it. It's His. But God shares it with us as a gift because He loves us. So He wants it to be part of our life. It's really His. It's His source. This breath that I breathe, this breath in my lungs is not mine. It's His. He's letting me use it, but I'm going to use it to do what? Put Him first in my life. Now, since everything is His, but He shares it with us, this is how we share life back with God. And this is your notes. We share life with God by bringing the first back to Him. So it's all His. But one of the ways we live a grateful life and we honor that God is the creator of everything is we take the first and we give it back to Him. And we're going to talk about the word bringing. The word bring is going to be really important in this message. So we share life with God by bringing the first back to Him. And here is the biblical principle about it belonging to Him coming next. God has chosen the first to represent the rest. Very important. God has chosen the first to represent the rest so that, give you a second to write, when you bring the first to God, you're giving the rest to God by faith. All right, this is really important. If you can start to see this perspective in life, it's all God's. It's His. But what He does is says, look, I reserve the first is holy. It's set apart for me. And to me, the first represents it all. So when I give God the first day of my week by going to church, what I'm really doing is what? I'm giving Him my entire week. When in the morning I get up and with my first 15 minutes I spend time with God, what am I doing in that moment? Am I giving Him 15 minutes? No, I'm giving Him the rest of my day. When I give the first of my income to Him, am I just giving Him 10% because He needs money to finance stuff? No, what I'm doing is I'm saying, God, everything I trust Him most, it's all Yours. This principle of first, and it's that simple, is God's way of not being legalistic, not being selfish. It's actually His way of making sure you and I have a relationship with Him. Because if it's His, like let's say this Dove chocolate is Mateo's, and it's His, and I know it's His, then for Him to have it, I've got to go over and say, it's wonderful milk chocolate. Enjoy. It's really good. It's one of my favorite things in all the world. And because I bring it to Him, I'm actually with Him now. And what God does with the principle of first is He has built into the very fabric of living a way for us to always be with Him. Now, the world wants to say, be greedy, don't do this, God wants that. No, no, no. It's about His heart of love for us. And so that's why in this sermon series, as we're going through this month, you're going to hear these sayings. Order matters in life. the first matters to life. If you're familiar with the Bible and Malachi, what does God say about leftovers? Yeah, not interested. Why? Because they're last when he is first. So it matters. Your tithe is not what I have left over. Your tithe is the first because it takes faith to give the first. It takes no faith to give the last. So God wants, he wants, and what is that? When I give the first in faith, what do I get to see? Wow, I wasn't sure I could do that without, I wasn't sure God would supply, and then God supplies, I know him more. So this idea of order is very important in life. What you put first determines your future. That is not just a clever saying, that's the Bible, okay? That is the Bible. If I put him first, I have eternal life. If I choose anybody but first, guess what else I have? It ain't eternal life, all right? And some things are feeling awful eternal in our lives, aren't they? Yeah? And it's not life that's feeling eternal. Why? And what we've got to do in that place, don't be a victim, don't give up. No, let's figure out how to change and put him first in that area. And then that other saying you'll see a lot is what you go to first. When I respond, when I get upset, when I'm angry, what I go to first is showing what I depend on. Because first represents the rest. And so this is an important principle that if you start to understand, it's not about God being legalistic. It's actually God saying, you're really important to me. I want you to always come to me. I've worked out life so that when you come to me, you get blessed. When you come to me and give and realize, because this world tries to hide who I am, you've got to come to me to bring that tithe, that first at any place in your life. When you do that, you'll know who I am. And then fear will be driven away from your life. Now, a lot of us, we like, well, you know, I don't know, and I don't know if I understand it. Well, you know, a lot of us, we don't understand gravity, but it sure is working, right? All right? I mean, you put pads on it, and all you want to do, and I love the fact that this girl's watching as he does this. That's my favorite part. It's like, well, nice trick. That was a nice attempt. The whole idea, you know, this may be the first time you've ever heard the Bible taught that the principle of first is there. It's like gravity. It's always working in your life. And it's not because God's trying to be mean. It's actually he built it in love for you. And so today's a very good day. So what I'm hoping you'll get out of this message is you'll start to look at things a little differently in your life. The universal law of first is this. If you know this, lots of your decisions are going to be a lot simpler in life. You are not keeping the first in your life. You're not, I mean, just know it right now. Because it doesn't, what? Belong to you. So it's not staying in your life, whether you want to keep it or not. It's not staying because it's not yours. So when I get up in the morning and I've got a lot of work to do and I'm like, should I pray, and should I go to the Bible a little bit? Or you know what? Maybe I could get a few emails done today. You know what I need to realize? If I choose to do my emails and my work, I'm not going to get any further ahead than if I stopped and took the first 15 minutes and spent time with him. Because I ain't keeping the 15 minutes. It's not going to stay to my advantage. And I think all of us in this room have felt that, right? We've made a choice about like, God, later. And then we try to get something done, never gets done. Why? Because the first is his. And so what we want to do in life is make sure that he has it. God gives it to you so that you will, what's that next word? Bring it to him and have relationship with him. This word bring is going to be really important. Something I do face to face with God in his presence. So when you have a decision about what am I going to do with my finances, when you have a decision about what am I going to do in that new relationship, when you have a decision about career, when you have a decision about your calendar, if you know this principle, your decision is going to be pretty simple. Well, you know what? I think somehow I'm going to use this to my advantage. It belongs to God. I'm going to give it to him first. So this law brings us to a choice you and I have, and it's this. Will you keep your first from God and end up losing it? And here's the tragedy. The tragedy isn't that you lose it. The tragedy is you lose God's presence in your life. Because it was about relationship, right? Will you keep your first from God and lose it and God's present life? Or will you bring your first to God and see it and God's presence, what's that next word? Multiplied in your life. This is the choice you and I make every day. Will I take something that belongs to God the first, and will I decide, I really need this right now, God. You can't have it because I think I can do better with it. Or will you decide to bring it to God and say, you know what, God, I ain't keeping this either way. It's yours first. Next week, we're going to talk about how this principle of first works in families. And once you start thinking and seeing it, it's going to be like a revelation about what's going right and what's going wrong in your family. It's going to be that simple once you start seeing it. So next week, you definitely want to come as we talk about how the principle of first works in families. But, you know, why does God want the firstborn child to be his? Well, if I learn to give the firstborn child to God, if I learn to raise the firstborn child in the ways of God, what's automatically going to happen with every other kid that I have? I've set up the standard of how I'm going to parent all of them. So what does God want? He wants the first. He wants the first to be the one. It's like, God, back to you. And so we'll look at that more next week. But this principle is so, it's throughout the Bible. Now, literally, it was so hard to figure out the sermon because there are 1,000 places to go. I'm going to give you 3 examples of how this is true. The first is Genesis chapter 4. And please note that this is before the law, okay? For those who do the tithing is the law thing. All right. Now, the story of Cain and Abel is what? Later, Cain brought some food from the ground as a gift to God. Abel brought the best part from some of the what? Firstborn of his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but did not accept Cain and his gift. So, ironically, Cain became very angry and did what? Felt rejected. Now, I don't know if you ever studied the Bible, and I've heard several times, why does God accept Abel's offering but not Cain? Well, now that you know the principle of first, do you know why? Because Cain just gave some of what he had. But what did Abel do? Abel gave of the firstborn. He gave what belonged to God back to God. Cain kind of did, I'll give you what I like, when I like, how I like it. Abel did, it's yours, and you get it first. When you bring God your first, you honor and relate to him as he really is. I want you to think about this. When you bring God your first, you honor and relate to him as he really is. In the Bible and in theology, this is called the doctrine of preeminence. It's the idea that nothing is before or above God. Colossians chapter 1, Jesus is before all things and in him all things hold together. It's the idea that he is, because of the very idea he created everything, the creator is always first before the created, right? I mean, he was there before the created things, else it wouldn't be there. So it's the idea that God is always first, and here it is. He cannot be otherwise. God can't not be first because he is. God can't be surprised. He's all-knowing. God can't, God can't lie because he is truth. God can't change because he's already perfect. God can't be second because he's first. So get the dynamics of what happens with Cain. Cain treats God like he's second, and then Cain's the one who feels like God's rejecting me. No, no, no. What happened was Cain rejected who God really was from the beginning. Do you see that? See, if God is first place, hey, God, yeah, he's in your life. He's first place, right? Yeah, where is he? Third place. First place is in third place? Oh, yeah, but he's totally first place. He's first place in third place. Totally. Yeah, I don't think he's first place. God can't be second, because he is first. So now this is a little bit of a sobering thought, and let's use it because God's revealing to us victory and the way to change. But guess what? Any place where God is not first in your life, he's not in that part of your life at all. If he's not first, he's not there, because the only place he can be there is first. And so what we want to see is that the call of God being first, when we bring our first, we're saying, oh, yeah, I know who you are. You really are that. And so God wants us to bring that. Now, next week, we'll do it all about family, but let's look at Malachi chapter 3 and the issue of finances. And I want you to notice in Malachi 3, Malachi would be, if you haven't read Malachi in a while, that'd be a great book to read this week, because it's all about God's people forgetting that God's first. And so Malachi 3 is kind of the classic place where God begins to speak to the people. And I want you to notice, this topic turns into tithing, but it begins with relationship. I want you to notice the wording. First of all, God says, I, the Lord, do not change. So he's about to talk about being first, and he's referring to back in Cain and Abel's day, I was like this. I have not changed since then. I'm still that now. Here it is. And then God says this to his people, return to me, and I will return to you. That's about relationship. Let's be together. Let's be how we're supposed to be, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? What do you mean? We're not far away from you. I mean, we go to church every Sunday. What are you talking about? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse because you are robbing me. In other words, the tithe is whose? His. If I take what's David, I've robbed him, right? Now, he's saying, look, that's mine. It belongs to me. Why don't you treat me as I really am? And then here's this word again. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see, notice the multiplication language that's starting to happen. If I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not lose their fruit, and your 401k won't tank, and the oil will not run all over Route 10, and you'll be all right. Like, if I'm in first, then the enemy can't be there to steal, kill, and destroy. We can't take up the same space. If I'm first, I'm there. He can't be there. You're going to be protected from the devourer. Now, I heard a Bible teacher talk about this. I never really got it until I understood the biblical principle of first. But in the Bible, God never says, give me a tithe. You can't give what's not yours. But you can bring a tithe to God because it's his, but he's entrusted it with you so that you can bring it back to him. And so what we want to do is we want to be people that take what is God's and bring it back to him. So, we bring, not give, God the first. And this should really encourage you. Your first is not his best in your life. Now, let me tell you what. Your first may seem pretty good. It may seem pretty awesome. Like, man, that's good. Well, what does the scripture say? God could do more than you can ask for or even imagine according to the power that's at work within you, right? Your first that God gave you is not his best for you. And if you want to experience his best, give him back the first. And then what does he say? You're not going to be able to hold what I give you next. Now look, if you start thinking about that and looking at life like, oh God, why are you asking me? God, I can't give you that. Oh yeah? That's not my best. You think that, but it's going to take some faith. It doesn't take any faith to give the leftovers. That's why a tithe is not after you do your budget and everything and then figure out if you got a little left over. A tithe is the first, because a tithe is, you know what? By faith, I know God is going to be, I know who he is, and I know he will provide. The first is what honors God by faith. It doesn't take any faith to say, oh, I got a few bucks left over. That's not faith, right? What we want to do is we want to be people who recognize who he is, and we want to bring to him who he is, what is his. And then the last one, and I love this one, and again, I mean, there are so many more stories. I mean, hey, let's think about Jericho. Jericho, they get in the promised land, they defeat Jericho, and they say what? I want all, God says, bring all of it to me. Why does he want all? Because what city is it? It's the first. It's the first city in the promised land that you're taking. God says, it belongs to me. Trouble, because he tries to keep what's God's. But, I mean, we could go throughout the rich young ruler. I mean, we could go through me. But I love this story in Matthew 8 where there's a crowd of people who are loving what Jesus is saying. They are loving what Jesus is saying, and they're getting all pumped up, and they've got hope. And then they're like, man, I'm going to follow you. following you, God. Jesus, love what you're saying. Filled with hope. Gonna totally track with you. And verse 21, another disciple in the crowd says to Jesus, Lord, I will follow you, but first, let me go bury my father. And then God, Jesus says something kind of rough. Jesus says, follow me now. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. In other words, hey, if you're dead to who I really am, then you shouldn't even follow me because I'm first. Now, I particularly like this translation. I'm trying to think of how I'm going to say this in a polite way at church. Some of us are living life, but first. You know how you're supposed to go in a pool feet first or head first? Some of us are going into life, but first, okay? You're starting to get it. All right, there you go. So you can start to click. I will totally follow God, but first I need to finish this school year. I will totally follow God, but first I want to have a little fun while I'm young. I'm going to follow God, but first I got to raise my kids. I will follow God, but first I need to take care of this project. When you live life but first, I don't know, there's got to be some catchy saying. I don't know what it is, but there's got to be a catchy saying after that. But first is always a bad way to live life. Let's just go there, shall we? Okay? Man, it's like, no, he is first. No, but first, first. If Jesus is not first in the area of your life, he is not in that area of your life at all. It's not. And that's why things get devoured. That's why things get stolen and destroyed in that place, because he's not first. Now in this world, we're always going to have to walk by faith. It's never going to be this perfect day-by-day formula of it just happens exactly the way I think it should. But I want to encourage you that this life is the life to live. And you should look at all of life this way. You should have a first look at life. And I want to tell you just in my own life how powerful this principle has been. This is a picture of my beautiful wife and my son Caleb. A lot of you know Caleb. And Caleb just turned 10 years old this Friday. And I'm very sore because of that. We got outdoor stuff and I can't handle it 45, but it was good. And we were celebrating that Caleb turning 10, our oldest daughter, Rachel, who's at the bottom of the pile there, is 20. So for the only time in our family's life, Rachel's twice as old as Caleb. It's never going to happen again. So we're having a lot of fun with it. But look, 10 years ago and a little before that, Sarah and I had three great girls. We had a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 5-year-old. And life was good. Like, it was pretty cool. My wife was one of three, and, I was just like, man, this is a great life. And then God said to us, how about giving me your family? Because I got something better. He started talking to us about adoption. And look, it's a great thing, but one, I don't got that money. And my kids, one day I want them to go to college. What am I going to do if I, Two, if you put another kid in the family, how's the dynamic going to work, and is that going to be okay, and Kate's not going to be the youngest anymore, how's that going to affect her, and I don't know if you noticed or not, but we're not exactly the same skin color, and what are people going to think about that, and is that going to be okay, and are certain people going to be mad at me, and certain people going to like me, and there was this thing in me for months saying, God, why are you asking me to give you what is already good? And what God said again and again as we worked through a process, like, hey, if you think that's good, you ain't seen nothing yet. Give me your family. Give me your first. Give me the first way your family's been. Give it to me. Let me take it, and let me do something multiplied in your life. And I tell you what, I say it all the time. I said, knowing the spiritual story behind adoption, and literally, physically, the month we decided to adopt was the month Caleb was born in this world, literally. There's never been a time that Caleb's not been part of our family. But I had to give something that was already pretty good in faith and say, maybe, God, you've got something better. And I can't tell you, I mean, I don't even like to say that there was a possibility of us not. Because I can't imagine my life. I can't imagine my girl's life. Everything changed. Everything multiplied in our life when we gave God what we already had, even though it was already pretty good. And you and I, we've got to be the same way. You know, I mean, the reason why there's a Project Hope and that there's a new church, an unreached people group, is because we said yes to adopting the son from Ethiopia. Like, there are things I couldn't even imagine would be part of what would happen if we gave him what we already had. And that's called living by faith. And God's always calling us to live it because he always wants to show us who he is, because we live in a world who's always screaming that he's not who he is. It's always trying to hide him and defame him. And God's saying, look, if you'll give to me who I really am, if you'll give me first, I'll show you that there's not a picture of heaven you can come up with that's better than what I want to give you. And so I want to encourage you. I just want to say, if there's not a place in your life where you're not a little bit like, why is God messing with that? There's not a little place in your life that isn't wondering, why is God not let me keep that? I'd encourage you, one, take a look at the picture, the principle, and then two, remember you're supposed to be living by faith, and that's what faith feels like. It feels like, are you sure, God? And then we go to the word and we go to the people around us and say, yeah, that is what it is. So all that to say this, that God loves you so much and is so true to this principle that not only is it how all the world works, but it's how he works in you and me. Because the Bible in Colossians 1 tells us that Jesus Christ is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. Read those next words with me. So Jesus is first in everything. And through him, God reconciled the world to himself through the cross. Now remember when we were in Exodus 13 and we saw this principle that when the first that we have is not clean, so in one way we can't give it to God because it's not going to be worthy of him, that what we're supposed to do is take something that is clean and give it to him as a saying, God, I'm redeeming this part of my life. Well, let me ask you a question. When you were you born clean or unclean? Unclean. Let's ask the experts in the room. Parents, do you have to teach your kid to be bad? No, I don't think so. Because we're unclean. Now let me ask you another question. Jesus, when he was born, was he clean or unclean? Clean. You know what Jesus did for you and me? You know what God the Father did? He gave the clean to redeem the unclean. He took the first so he could have the rest. He, the one who never sinned, gave himself so that me, who is unclean, could go to the Father and be with him forever. That's the God we serve. That's who he is. And we're going to take communion. And as we do communion, it's a moment to say, look, all these things about first, this isn't God being controlling. This isn't God being legalistic. This is about God's heart. Jesus said in the Gospels that where a person's treasure is, there's their heart, right? God wants your heart. And so whether it's about finances, whether tomorrow morning when you wake up and you already look at your clock and can't figure out how you're going to do everything, you say, you know what? The first belongs to God anyway, and I'm not keeping it. If I do something else with it, it's not going to help. I'm going to spend the first of my day because I want to give all my day to God. I can give it to him first. If you do that, God will take care of the rest. So I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon to lead us in one worship song together, if you'd stand with us. And I'm going to ask the ushers to come and prepare us for communion. Would you just hold on to the elements, and then we'll take it together.